The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. Good evening here from Finland. But you can see out back there in the window behind me that even though it's 11 o'clock at night, it's still fairly bright. That's some of the great advantage of the north during the summer months. I'm happy to see you all here. And really, we are continuing our preparation for the full moon, which does occur at 7, 12, and 14 seconds PM. That's GMT. And our actual broadcast for that will be starting at 5:40 p.m., just about an hour and a half before the actual full moon. And we use our usual live link, which will be in the chat box, probably is in the chat box at this point. So we'd be happy to see you there, and it's such a busy time, this Gemini, and the labor of Hercules in Gemini is manifold. Five different episodes in the labor of Hercules for Gemini. We have to be so grateful that the Tibetan himself was able, up until Libra, or going through Libra, to write the story of the myth as he understood it. After that, the people, you know, did a good job. They did the best they could, but it was no longer coming from the Tibetan and through Alice Bailey. So I wonder if anyone would have been able to write of the intricacy of the Gemini myth. We had there ignoring of the intuition. That was the first. And Gemini is one of those important signs of the intuition. We had the encounter with, I forget the name of it, but it was Antaeus, something like that. It was sort of a precursor of the Dragon of Illusion. It was glamour and the tendency to succumb to it, especially in the matter of belief of the spoken word. We also had the encounter with Bucyrus, who was the false teacher. That was the third encounter. And had chained Hercules to the altar for a long time before Hercules, and that's all of us, realized what was going on. So, you know, trying to follow every word of Bucyrus, which was leading nowhere. And then he broke the chains and chained Bucyrus himself to his own altar. Then two very positive episodes. The encounter with Prometheus and the relief of Prometheus. This would be the relief of the solar angels, or coming to the assistance of the solar angels. The word Prometheus, the fire bearer, you know, is pretty much the host of solar angels. And then finally, assisting Atlas to carry the weight of the world. And this is really the same thing as joining the hierarchy and carrying the weight of the world. And only then did the golden apples roll into his hand. Tuya was dealing with this a little bit earlier today with the sacred pentagram meditation. So we have to pass through all these different stages, and hopefully we're at least at stage number four, where we are assisting the freeing of the solar angels. One day they will fly home and we will have to take over their task with regard to ourselves, and then later with regard to others. Now, you know, I'd like to keep concentrating here. It's a little different approach on the work which involves the Buddha and the Christ. And, you know, at the actual full moon, it is said that the Christ reads the entire, or enunciates the entire sermon of the Buddha, which is just filled with important advice for disciples such as we are. It was a great last word, and probably we'll play the music to that tomorrow evening, and we can think about some of those things. So I'm going to be, you know, kind of improvising here a little bit and not necessarily following the usual pre-full moon meditation. I think the important thing is somehow, though, to learn a degree of detachment. We are the consciousness, the soul, in incarnation, which means that what we seem to perceive most, as if it were ourselves, is the personality. We care a lot about the state of our physicality, our emotions, even about our mental condition, you know, what we're thinking. But within and underlying and substanding and really beyond all those possible identifications is what we more essentially are, the consciousness, the being. Try to see yourself that way. And then, of course, when you can, the mantra of Gemini makes so much sense. I recognize my other self. And in the waning of that self, I grow and glow. So, as Francis has given us some very interesting illustrations, and it's as if we are in that circle above. And the eyes are coming down to the self that we ordinarily think of as ourselves. We recognize, but we are in the stage of the soul. And the soul is dealing with us. We, the soul, also see ourselves as the other self, the personal self, and we begin to get a much fuller idea of who we really are. And we don't so easily identify with the lower being. It's the resolution of dualities is what we're dealing with. And we enter the world of the soul, of light, love, and spiritual sacrificial will, and the subject-object dualism begins to fade away. You know, the Cartesian split, as it were, between the subject and the object. That is an artificial split. And people who have more the soul experience, of course, he was a third race soul, I suspect, and you have to reason your way therefore into the truth. With a brilliant mind he had, you know. But of the esotericist, more is expected. And we can imagine ourselves living in this world of the soul, of light, of love, and of sacrificial will. It's our truer home, really. Can we get the sense of that? And can we look out upon the men and women of goodwill and the world servers and indeed all human beings, finally, and get the sense that this specter of difference is not essentially real? That the subject and the object are one thing, and that would be called contemplation. Alice Bailey, in her book, From Intellect to Intuition, wrote brilliantly on the factor of contemplation, which I think is not sufficiently understood. I'd go there and reread. So this Gemini festival, this festival of the Christ, festival of humanity, Christ's unique occasion, festival of goodwill, also sometimes called Asala in the East. So many names. But it's a good time to get behind and within the object, the apparent object. Our life, our consciousness is filled with objects, but what if we learn to identify as if we were the essence of the perception we are having? I recognize my other self, and in the waning of that self, I grow and glow. And Gemini is uniquely concerned with resolving the dualities which the Antikorana makes possible. Mercury, Gemini, the Antikorana, these go together. It's a great time to bring, at least imaginatively, the opposites together. The multicolored rainbow bridge. But when we do group meditation, especially indigo in this largely second ray group, and all the energies of the soul gathered in a pool of retained energies. And we learn to project toward the triad, and one day distant, probably we will reach into that triad at a very high level. Maybe not yet, but an evocation can come when we say, I see the greatest light, and sound our second ray note, our om, as we think, I see the greatest light. So let's do that, a clear shaft of white light in the indigo, reaching high and evoking response from the source of wisdom, from the source of spiritual will, which should be guiding our life, from the source where the great thoughts are thought, the abstract mind. So from the mental unit, which has gathered the energies of the lower personality and also of the soul, we use it as a springboard. I see the greatest light and the om. Eventually, it is the light of Shambhala, of the monad, which will meet the shaft of light projected upwards, which is really the returning prodigal sun. And a very subtle kind of interplay, interaction will occur. And the reconciliation of the opposites. And we will enter the world where the Buddha is to be found, where the Christ is to be found. We offer our salutations to these two great teachers. Where Master Moria is to be found, Master Kutumi, Master Jwalkul, our own master, if that is not one of the three, and really all the hierarchy. Salutations to these great lives in the spiritual triad and in some cases, even above. Salutations. I think we would all be amazed if we knew what the hierarchy is doing, and also Shambhala at the time of the full moons. I've been studying externalization of the hierarchy as I've been preparing the programs for you. There's some amazing material in there that maybe is not much read or understood. Even the solution to the WASAC problem is there, and to the Good Friday problem. Yes, those festivals will fade. But like the Festival of the Christ, in every country will be a representative of the Buddha at the WASAC, of Shambhala at the first ray, Good Friday, and first ray WASAC, and at the second ray Festival of the Christ, there will be a direct recipient in every country of a direct stream of energy from the great teachers whose name is associated with one of these festivals. It's much to ponder. There's no abandonment of the Buddha or by the Buddha. If anything, there's kind of a change of keynote and an intensification of the direct stream of energy. In any country, probably at first some developed countries, and later maybe every country. Something to bear in mind when we question whether the Buddha is still coming to the valley. The Buddha is very active. He's in the triangle surrounding the Christ. He's active in the externalization of the divine plan throughout the age of Aquarius. And near the end, both he and the Christ will consummate the seventh initiation, just as they did in a fourth ray ashram, consummate the third initiation in Atlantean days. So their influence is profound. They work together, and at the two sequential festivals, the WASAC and the Festival of the Christ, his unique occasion, we think of how closely they work together, and how beautiful it is that the Christ enunciates, probably in the Pali language, the last sermon of the Buddha on the day of the full moon. So we're going to prepare for that a little bit. And we'll think about these brothers in the light. And what that last sermon about that. Now within the range of the 24 hours, and soon within the 12-hour range, the actual full moon being at 7:12 and 14 seconds p.m. GMT, or rather, excuse me, it's, yeah, that's it. And we begin at 5:40. So let's ponder together the two great teachers, the great Lord of wisdom and of light, the Buddha, the great Lord of love, the Christ, so subtle and yet increasingly direct, their transmissions at these important times, even though the keynote, at least of the Waysak Festival, is changing, or by now certainly has changed. So let us take these words of the last sermon of the Buddha. Remember, the Buddha is Mercury. Bud, Mercury, Buddha. The Mercury energies reveal the pairs of opposites, vertical. The Venus energies, the esoteric ruler of Gemini, bring the opposites together. Fuse and blend them. And eliminate that sharp dichotomy. And then there's the Earth. The Earth, for us, the field of reception, the field of service, the planet that could not rise without the ministrations of Mercury and Venus. So those are very, very important energies, and a triangle is created. A very important triangle. Mercury, more the mind. Venus, more the redeemed astral body and the fusion of love and wisdom. And the Earth, the field of service. These energies are available. We have to believe they are. We have to be subtle enough to sense them. And they will grow in their availability as we move towards the full moon. And through their instrumentality, we become truly human, which means to be an initiate of some kind. And we are extracted from the limitations of Earth as usually conceived. But we come back and we bring the energies of the brothers in the light. Mercury, the Buddha, Venus, the Christ. And so when we adhere to the teachings of the two great teachers of the two hemispheres, we are bringing in the energies of Taurus and Gemini, and of Mercury and Venus, and also Vulcan and the Earth. But now let us take ourselves forward to the time, very soon now, when the Christ will be enunciating the last sermon. We've already had a little bit of it, and it is differently translated in different presentations, but we can get the idea. The keynote is self-reliance. Self-reliance. And we're not just talking about the personality here, are we? When we talk about the self. So I'll pause after every little section and we'll try to take that in, and these words will mean something as we move towards the actual moment of the full moon. And he is said to have said, those who, either now or after I am dead, shall be a lamp unto themselves, relying upon themselves only, and not relying upon any external help, but holding fast to the truth as their lamp, and seeking their salvation in the truth alone, shall not look for assistance to anyone besides themselves. Let us ponder. And here he is speaking to his chief disciple, Ananda, which means bliss. It is they, Ananda, among my bhikshus, who shall reach the very topmost height. But they must be anxious to learn. They learn by relying upon themselves. Then he goes on, my age is now full ripe. He lived to be 80, the tradition tells us. My age is now full ripe. My life draws to its close. I leave you. I depart. Relying on myself alone. And then he speaks to the assembled brethren, you know, who were, of course, as is so human, grieving over his departure. But as we see, he never really departed. Be earnest then, O brethren, holy, full of thought. Be steadfast in resolve. Keep watch over your own hearts. Remember the last 3 days that the Buddha asked us to be strenuous, thoughtful, and mindful. Who wearies not, but holds fast to his truth and law, shall cross this sea of life, shall make an end of grief, the sea of samsara, of illusion. There's so much strenuousness. He had the first ray personality and stimulated the first ray aspect of the second ray ashram. Who wearies not, but holds fast to his truth and law, shall cross this sea of life, shall make an end to grief. When the light of gnosis has dispelled the darkness of ignorance, when all existence has been seen as without substance, peace ensues. When life draws to an end, which seems to cure a long sickness at last. Everything, whether stationary or movable, is bound to perish in the end. When the light of gnosis has dispelled the darkness of ignorance, when all existence has been seen as without substance, peace ensues. When life draws to an end, which seems to cure a long sickness at last. Everything, whether stationary or movable, is bound to perish in the end. Be ye therefore mindful and vigilant. The time for my entry in Nirvana has now arrived. These are my last words. And I'll put this. There was some additional yesterday, but I'll put this into the chat box so you can copy it and think. Okay. I see it's not all going to fit. Perish, and I will just put the next part in the next chat. Perish in the end. And so before tomorrow, before our gathering at the full moon, you have a chance then to ponder these words. The Christ will be speaking them in his own way. And sharing them with the hierarchy, which means that humanity will be deeply affected by them. And so we offer our deep gratitude to the Buddha, to the Christ, to the assembled hierarchy, which will also sound the great invocation together, and that it will be World Invocation Day. So you need not wait until our meeting. You can begin on a regular basis, maybe every hour, every half hour, to take full advantage of World Invocation Day and sound out, sound aloud, yourself, if you're alone or with others, the great invocation. And in this little preparatory meditation, let us sound together to close the great invocation, visualizing the light, the love, the spiritual power going where it must go, according to our understanding of human need, which is dire today. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men. The purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center, which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. So friends, love and many blessings from Tuya and myself and from the whole communications team and from the members of the Moria Federation and Blue Rose Sisterhood. Well, we're all in this together. We hope to see you tomorrow at 5:40 p.m. GMT for the broadcast, and of the exact moment of the full moon. And it's at the usual link, which is in your chat box, the usual YouTube link. We call it the live link. It's always the same for broadcast. So thank you very much for being here. Ponder the last sermon of the Buddha, because it gives us the advice we need regarding how we should live and how we should help. So hopefully this will be ready for you, you know, quite soon. I just have to convert it, and it will go up on Makara. Makara.us. Bye-bye.